Good morning, and welcome to Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it is my pleasure to be here with you. Wasn't it nice coming in this morning without it being negative degrees out there? Glad to see that sunshine, and glad to see all of your faces. Glad that we can be here to worship, and welcome to our online friends as well that are worshiping with us virtually. So glad that we have this time to be together. I have just one announcement that I'm going to make. No one else told me to say anything, so this is the only one I got, and I want to encourage you one last time. Our Chili Cook-Off and Talent Show will be this coming Saturday. The chili will start at 5 o'clock with the food, and then about 6 o'clock we'll come up here for the talent show. If you haven't signed up yet to join us, please do, or just show up next Saturday. We'll make sure we have enough food for you. We always have enough. It will be a fun evening. It's a fun time of fellowship downstairs. I won't tell you which pot of chili you have to vote for, but you all know. And the talent show will be fun. It is a great evening to see some of the talents of our church. I know we have some acts that have been working hard, getting ready to go for it. So I hope you can join us. That'll be next Saturday starting at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. And as I said, that's the only announcement I had to share. I know we have some other activities going on, those things that are on the board scrolling before service. But right now we're here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to worship our God. So we're going to do that, and I'll invite you to join me in that worship as we sing our opening hymn. It's number 451, Be Thou My Vision. Will you stand with me as you're able and sing hymn number 451? Will you pray with me? Oh God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus the Christ. Lord, today, fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we may become one living body. We may become your incarnate presence here on earth. Come, O Spirit, come. Fill our lives today, we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is going to take us into the Psalms. We're going to be hearing Psalm 112. If you wish to follow along, you can find it on Old Testament page 539 in the Pew Bibles. It's titled, Blessings of the Righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. This ends our first reading for this morning. And our choir has their anthem they've been working on and preparing for us. I invite you now to hear as they sing, Bread and Wine of Life. Thank you, choir. At this time, I'd like to welcome and invite any of the children who are here, students, youth, that'd like to come forward to join me on the steps. Got a couple wandering up the side here. Come on up, girls. Oh, this way. I mean, unless you want to play the organ, I'm sure Myung will give you a quick lesson. There you go.
Oh, she has mom's coffee. That's
it's okay. It's okay. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today?
Good!
Whoa. Someone's doing good. I like to hear that, though. I'll take it. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad you're having a good morning. I had a question for you this morning, though. I was thinking about it. Do any of you have a favorite snack? A favorite thing that you like to eat at home? Do you have a favorite snack? No? No? You just don't like to eat?
No.
Ruffles, all right.
That'd be great.
Anyone else? Any other favorite snacks? What's yours, Zoe? Fish? Oh, I thought you said fish. I was going to say, that's a heck of a snack. Goldfish. I can do goldfish. All right. I can do that. Any other favorite snacks? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah,
snack of one. No? No other favorite snacks? Well, I'm surprised. I thought you guys might have a few favorite snacks. I don't know why he's not here. He flew off his sled and he hurt his arm. I am sorry to hear that. We will keep him in our prayers for us, all right? Thanks for sharing that with us. We'll keep him in our prayers. He might need a favorite snack here to feel a little better. Well, I have a favorite snack. I actually got to have one of my favorite snacks just last night. And do you know what my favorite snack is?
Popcorn.
We got to make popcorn last night. And I like having popcorn for a snack. If I'm watching a movie or if I'm just sitting on the couch reading a book, I don't care. I'll eat popcorn anytime, anywhere. I really like it. But as I was thinking about it, I'm talking right now, though. I have a favorite thing that I like to put on top of my popcorn. And my favorite thing I put on top of my popcorn is a great deal of butter and some salt, right? Have you guys ever had popcorn that doesn't have anything on it?
Yeah.
I heard a couple of the reactions. That's how I feel about it. Thank you. It really is just kind of blah. It doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. It doesn't have a whole lot of taste in it. It's just a little blah. And so we put that butter and we put that salt especially on. We sprinkle that on and it makes the flavor better. It intensifies the flavor. It gives it a good taste. And I was thinking about that because I'm going to speak to the adults here in a little bit in my sermon. Jesus is going to talk about it a little bit. About he calls us to be the salt of the earth, the salt to the world. So what do you think Jesus means when he's telling us to be the salt to the world? If salt makes popcorn better and makes it taste better, what's he asking us to do? What do you think? We can make the world a better place. We should season it and flavor it. And how do you think we can do that? What should we do to be salt? Eat a lot of popcorn? All right. Be nice to people. My man, you're on fire today. Thank you. Yeah, we can season the world with our love. We can season it with Jesus' love. We can sprinkle that everywhere we go. We can be nice to people. We can encourage people. We can help people. We can, whatever the need might be that they have, we can be that for them. We can season the world and make it taste, make the world a little bit better place. And so I guess that was my encouragement, but none of you have favorite snacks. I was going to tell you the next time you have that favorite snack, to think of ways that you could maybe encourage others, that you could be a little salt to the world. Maybe the next time you have popcorn, remember that we're called to be that seasoning, that we're called to make the world a better place, all right? So, all right, before you head back there to Odyssey, I'm going to say a quick word of prayer with you. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these boys and girls that they're able to be here with us, Lord. We pray for our friends who can't be here with us if they've hurt themselves recently or they just couldn't make it this morning. Lord, we keep them in our prayers as well. And Lord, I pray that you help remind us that we are the seasoning. We are the salt in the world, that we can spread that salt far and wide. We can share your love. We can share your hope with other people. For Jesus, we are called to be that salt, and we appreciate your love in our lives. So let us share it with others. We pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys. You're welcome to head back to Odyssey there or back to your seats. Thanks for coming up and seeing me today. There you go. Careful. A lot to say, but words not to say it yet. I might just let her come up and preach the message for today. We do celebrate the joys that children are, the smiles they bring to our faces, and we celebrate the joys we have to share with one another, as well as those needs and concerns that we have to lift. And I had a couple that I noted here, and I guess I'm glad to say I see many of the faces that I was listing. Ardith Becker is back with us. She had fallen a few weeks back and had a bruised tailbone, but we are glad to see you up and with us again, Ardith. Welcome. And I also had Dave Lee on my list. Dave had to have some surgery on a hand for carpal tunnel, so Dave, I'm glad to have you with us as well and back. And Sue had a trip to the hospital last week too, so all of them are back. My notes are all filled up, which is a good thing. We're glad to see you and pray for continued healing for all of you. But those are the ones that I had noted prior to service. So if you have others that you'd like to share, I encourage you to raise your hands to share those with us as we pray this morning.
I'd just like to ask again that we continue to remember and pray for an end to the war in Ukraine, that the people there would be able to maintain their country. And we just think of all the people there that are without homes and food and what a disaster it's been there. So we just ask the Lord to move in a mighty way there. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that reminder, Jenny. We continue to pray for all those people displaced and in unsafe conditions. We keep them in our prayers. Thank you, Jane.
Prayers for my sister's family. We lost her last Sunday, and then on, I think it was Tuesday, found out her husband has stage 4 cancer. I don't know what kind yet. So the children are just devastated.
Absolutely. Prayers for a family that's hurting, mourning the loss, but also trying to decide what is best for the future. And we keep them and you in our prayers, Dory. Thank you. Right down in front of me.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for all your prayers. I hope that's okay. Because they got me through a very, very difficult time. And my little dog, Molly, went to heaven at the last minute and very easily. So thank you. Prayer works. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. And we do pray, keep you in our prayers for comfort and losing your friend. And we'll continue to pray for you. Thank you. Are there any others this morning?
Continued prayer for Beth.
Continued prayers for Beth Eisen. Thank you. Then I'll invite us to take these that we've heard, those that have been shared and spoken, as well as always, those that we carry with us, those needs, those situations that we haven't spoken, but that God will hear. Let us speak them now. Let us share them now with our God in silent prayer. God, you are the God of every land, of every nation. You have created all people and you dwell among us. Your spirit dwells within us. Today we pray that you listen to the cries of those who pray to you. That in this time we can proclaim the greatness of your name. That we can proclaim that power of your love. Power of love at work throughout this world. God of light, your searching spirit reveals and illumines your presence in all of creation. Shine your radiant holiness into our lives that we may offer our hands and our hearts to your work. Help us to be those that heal and shelter, those that feed and clothe, those that break every yoke and silence evil tongues. Renew us again this day. Give us strength to live as your chosen people. Give us strength that we might be a light in the darkness, a beacon of hope to all those who suffer. Lord, remind us again this day that there is no trial before us that's as great as the power that is within us. We lift these prayers, those spoken here today, as well as those carried silently in our hearts. We lift them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray together, who taught us this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We lead our praise, we lead our praise that calls me from a world of care and leads me out my Father's throne. Take all my wants and wishes. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and often escaped the tempter snare. My love. I'll invite you to stand with me again for our next hymn. It's number 405, Seek Ye First. Will you stand with me as you're able for hymn number 405? Please be seated. We take a moment each week to offer our prayers and our concerns, of course, but we also take a moment in this time to offer our thanks and gratitude for the collection of tithes and offerings, for the gifts received here today, for the work it allows us to continue to do throughout this world. I am thankful, I am grateful for this church, for the work we continue to do through our ministries, through our missions, through being present in this community. It makes a difference in the lives of many. So I offer my thanks and remind you we do have the offering box on the organ, of course. The gifts can be left here today. We also have online giving available at romeoumc.com if you would wish to use that instead. I offer my thanks and we offer this word of prayer for this collection today. Heavenly Father, with great kindness, with great love, you lead your people. You have given us wisdom to help us recognize Christ as our Lord, as the Lord of glory. Today we pray that you enlighten us by your Spirit to discern how to use the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Not just the gifts of money, but of time and energy. The gifts of how we can serve in this world. May all of our church's ministries serve as channels of your powerful grace to help people in need, to help lead people back to you. We dedicate these tithes and offerings through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our second scripture reading is coming to us again from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. They can be found on page 4 of the New Testament Pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. They're titled Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Law and the Prophets. Do not think that I have come to abolish the Law or the Prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the Law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This, my friends, is the word of God. It's the promise of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the committees of the church that often flies under the radar a little bit, it's the SPRC, or the Staff Parish Relations Committee. They're the committee that's responsible for the staffing of the church, as well as they're the link, the communication between the staff and the people, the congregation of the church. And over the last few months, years, if I'm being honest, our SPRC, they've kept plenty busy. Christian education director, organist, choir director, maintenance, nursery, they've been at work for many months, many years, trying to fill these positions. At one point, I had to stop and ask Michelle, she's our chair, I had to ask her, is it me? Because every position of the church has been replaced since I've been here. Is it me? She assures me it isn't. I still have my fears. But I know you'll join me in expressing your thanks to our SPRC members for the work they have done to find us those wonderful staff who have stepped in. We had wonderful staff in these positions before, and we have wonderful staff in them again. And it's because of their tireless efforts. I am thankful for their efforts. But as I was speaking with Michelle and reflecting on our SPRC a little bit this week, I also happened to come across this joke that I just knew I had to share with you this morning. Because you see, the SPRC, they were doing that yearly meeting where they had to discuss the pastor's compensation for the coming year. And they were checking the budget, checking the numbers, looking at the giving, trying to decide what was fair, what was possible for the church and for that pastor. And as they finished their discussions, they invited the pastor back into the room to join them in the room. The chair of the committee took a deep breath and looked at the pastor and said, "We're very sorry, pastor, but we've decided that we just cannot give you a raise this year. We cannot afford to do so. The numbers just don't work for us to give you that raise." And the pastor was a little surprised by this decision and quickly replied, but, you must give me a raise. I need that raise. I am but a poor preacher. The committee chair looked back at the pastor and replied, "Yes, sir, we know. We have to listen to you every Sunday." Earlene knew where I was going. Ouch, though, right? Not something that any pastor, any preacher wants to hear in their meeting with a committee. Because, of course, we all strive to write that great sermon each and every week, one that makes you stop, makes you think, makes you feel God's presence, hear God's message, one that might even knock your socks off, one that will inspire you to hear God's voice in your own life. Sometimes we might succeed, but other times we can fall short of having that occur. But whatever the result is, we have to continue on. We have to move on to the next week. And that's where I found myself this week. I found myself continuing on as I reflected back on what has taken place over the past few months and weeks, the sermons and messages that we've been preaching, that I've been preaching, that you've been hearing. Because then I realized that we were in Matthew 5, which last week we started, we heard the first part of this. But what is this passage known as? It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus' sermon that he delivered to those people. One of his first teachings that he ever delivered. It was that Sermon on the Mount. And as you might recall from last week, Jesus started that sermon by offering a blessing. And it wasn't a blessing to the people that would have been expected to be blessed. It was to those who might have found themselves on the outskirts of society, those struggling, those mourning, those sick, those who weren't feeling quite blessed in their lives. But Jesus made a point of offering that blessing to all people. In this intro to the sermon, Jesus was establishing a new way, a way that included all people. And then this week, our scripture continues that Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, much like I shared with the kids, Jesus tells those gathered that they are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world. And to most of us, those two items, salt and light, they don't seem to be anything too spectacular, do they? They're two pretty common items that we have around our houses. Light's as common as what? Walking in and flipping the switch. Or maybe you got one of those and the lights come on. Anymore, what is it? Hey, Google, Alexa, turn on the lights. The lights appear. We're pretty used to having that, aren't we? Heck, we even anymore, I can turn on my cell phone here, and there we go. I got my flashlight ready to go. Took me all of a second to have that light ready to go. We rarely consider the power or the dependence on the light until those times when we suddenly don't have it. When the power goes out, when the lights aren't there, then we suddenly realize their value. Salt is much the same way in our world. It's as close as the salt shakers we all have in our pantries. Or have you been down that aisle at the grocery store, the baking aisle where it has all that stuff? Do you know how many different kinds of salt there are in that aisle? Table salt and kosher salt and sea salt and pink salt and Himalayan salt and Epsom salt. And I could have kept on going, but they kicked me out because I was sitting there taking notes. I don't know. We have no shortage of salt options in our lives. And really, when it comes down to it, we probably have a little too much of both. A little too much light, a little too much salt. We eat more than we should, and we probably spend more time in front of the light of a screen than we really should, too. I found one report that estimates that 90% of Americans, eat more salt each year than they should. And we don't have to look far to find the reports on negative effects of screen time, of spending time in front of our TVs and computers and phones. Those reports are readily available. The research is there. So we literally, sitting here in 2023, we have probably too much of those literal things that Jesus was talking about in this sermon. We have too much salt and too much light. But then as I reflected and as I read Jesus' words again, I realized something. I remembered something we shared last week as well, that Jesus is rarely the literal type, isn't he, in these sermons? Rarely is he concerned with the wisdom of the world, what the world tells us. Because to be clear, I don't think Jesus was at all concerned with our sodium intake or how much time we were spending in front of our phones and TVs. Rather, as Jesus preached about that salt and that light, I think he was concerned about the spiritual qualities it entails. He wanted us to have these qualities, and he wanted us to know why it was important. Because you see, salt and light, they are very common to us. I just said where we can find them. They're readily available. But in the world of ancient Judaism, salt and light, they were essential, and they were rare. Salt was used as a preservative for seasoning food, as well as for medicinal purposes. It was used in many aspects of their lives, as well as a part of religious traditions and rituals. It was an important thing in their lives. And light was likewise hard to come by. Most homes were lit by olive oil lamps that provided little light by modern standards. When that sun went down, it got dark out. It got dark out outside and inside. Light was a commodity. It was a special thing to have. When Jesus is telling those listening that they are salt and they are light, he is telling them something important. He is telling them that they are significant, that they are essential, that they have an important purpose in God's kingdom. They have a use beyond what they understand. I think it's important that we notice the words Jesus is using in this passage. Because as Jesus is telling them this, he's not laying out some course of study. He's not laying out a 3-year plan of study that they have to go back and study in the temple that they have to follow to figure out how to be salt, how to be light, how to be his disciples. He isn't doing any of that. Because his words were intentional, I believe. He very clearly tells them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's not telling them it's something they're going to achieve, something they're going to become, something they should strive for. He's telling them, you are these things. You already have the ability to change the world around you. You have the ability to act as salt and light to those that you encounter. That group that was gathered, it was a marginal group. They were the people from the outskirts of society. This wasn't the temple leaders. This wasn't the authorities who came out to that hillside to find Jesus. These were people who had heard rumors, heard murmurs, perhaps even seen some of the miracles Jesus was doing. They lived outside the established power structure. They lived outside the religious establishment of the day. But they were the people gathered on that hillside. The world very likely would have deemed them as a pretty unimportant group. Yet Jesus sees in them as he looks out on that hillside. As he looks at that gathered crowd, he sees in them the salt and light of the world. He sees them as capable of transforming the world around them. He wants them to know it. I think that's one of the important lessons in this passage, one of the important things Jesus is trying to make sure they understand, probably trying to make sure we understand it too, that Jesus is suggesting to these gathered, his disciples, of course, but also those who would choose to follow him, that being his disciple is not so much a matter of doing as it is a matter of being. The crowd that Jesus preached to, they were living in difficult times. There were enormous theological shifts, social changes taking place during these days. The temple in Jerusalem was gone. Parties and factions had formed, and they were within the faith community. They were splintering off and doing their own thing. They were often at odds with each other. They didn't agree on how to follow, how to worship God any longer. The present that they lived in, it was unstable at best. The future seemed uncertain. They were living in a tumultuous time. Then I stopped and realized, as we fast forward a couple thousand years, we move the clock to 2023, as we sit on that metaphorical hillside and hear Jesus preach this sermon, let's be honest, we find ourselves in quite a similar time, don't we? We find ourselves in a time of theological and social change. The number of people joining the Christian faith, it is not increasing. As a matter of fact, it's decreasing, and decreasing quickly. According to one Pew Research study, as early as 1990, approximately 90% of Americans identified as Christian. It was the norm. It was the vast majority, with only about 5% of people identifying as nuns or no religious affiliation. That was 1990, about 30 years ago. Today, those numbers look radically different. According to that same research group, we are currently sitting right around 63% of Americans who identify as Christian. And that group of nuns, that group who promotes or proclaims no religious affiliation, that group has climbed to 30% of the population. Even more worrying, as that same study projects, that within the next 30 years, that number of religiously affiliated, that number of Christians in America will likely drop below the 50% mark for the first time in our nation's history. We live in a time of theological and social change and challenge. And things are no different within our own denomination. The United Methodist Church has parties and factions. They have different ideas, different goals, different beliefs on how the future of our denomination should go. Even as our congregations are shrinking, some forced to close, we see that infighting happening in our own denomination. People are looking for faith communities, looking to form them outside of the normal church structures because they've gotten fed up with how the church has behaved, with how we've behaved as Christians. If we want to be honest, the future seems a little unstable right now. It seems a little uncertain. We are living in tumultuous times. So how are we, the disciples of Jesus Christ today, how are we called to be in this situation? How are we to live? How are we to practice our faith? How are we to share our faith with others? I sat with these questions. I tried to answer them. I wanted to have the answer. I wanted to write it on paper. I wanted to know the way to do it. That's because I like to solve problems. I want to have the answer. But then I realized it's not my problem to solve. The answer, as always, is in one place. And it's in one place only. It is in the scriptures. It is in God's holy word. Because as usual, Jesus has something to say about the situations we find ourselves living in. Even though he spoke these words 2,000 years ago, these words still apply in our lives. So what did Jesus tell us? We just heard them a moment ago. Jesus says we are to be salt. We are salt, intensifying the flavor of the world around us. Jesus says we are to be the light, sharing and shining God's grace and love into those dark corners of the world. Jesus is calling for our goodness to be so obvious, so evident in how we live, that the very presence of God's love and grace follows us around. It is encountered by each person we encounter. I believe so often we can get caught up in the do of our lives, of our faith, that we sometimes forget. We forget the importance of the being, of how important it is to be those things Jesus called us to be. And I had to go digging in my seminary notes this past week because I knew I had this story in there. I knew I had this encounter with one of my professors. It was from my favorite class I probably ever took in seminary. It was pastoral caregiving. And Dr. Stevenson, he'd been in ministry for over 50 years at that point. He served in the Detroit area for a good portion of that career. And Dr. Stevenson, he had that James Earl Jones-esque voice, that deep, booming voice that just kind of pulled you in when he spoke. I swear he could have got up and read the dictionary, and I would have sat there and listened to him for hours. But during one of our visits, during one of our classes, we were discussing visitations, hospital visits, caring for our congregation, caring for individuals who are dealing with difficult situations and circumstances. And one of my classmates, she finally held up her hand and asked the question that probably all of us were thinking in that moment. But she asked, "Dr. Stevenson, what exactly are we supposed to do during a visit? What are the things we should make sure we accomplish during any given visit with a member?" And I'm sure if there were cameras in that room, it would be like a scene from a movie or TV where all the students suddenly go, we were all ready. We were all waiting for that response. We wanted that answer of how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do. And he took just a moment, as he always did, to collect his thoughts. But then he answered us, saying, "On any visit, your role is not to do anything. Your role is to be a comforting presence. Your role is to be there for the family, to listen, or to listen to that individual. Your role is to be present and offer a prayer when asked for or appropriate. Your role is to be present in the moment. Your role is to be whatever they need you to be in that time. Your role is not to do. It is to be." My friends, that was an important lesson for me. I've told you before, I'm a doer. I want to do. Give me a task and I'll do it. But being present, being who God is calling me to be, that takes patience. That takes time. That takes being intentional with my choices. That was a lesson for me, and I hope it can be a lesson for all of us. Because the good news we need to hear, the good news in this teaching from our Lord and Savior, is that it's not our job, It's not our responsibility to bring someone else into a relationship with the living Lord. We cannot do that. That is God's work. That is the Holy Spirit's work to change hearts and change souls and change minds. We cannot accomplish that. We're not called to do that. Our role, simply put, is to be a witness, to be vessels through which God's love and light and grace can flow, to be the seasoning of God's love sprinkled on this world, a world that desperately needs to know what love is, to be lamps through which God's light can shine, to which a beacon that people can be pulled to. Being a disciple of Jesus, it is not an easy task. It can be quite daunting at times. It may require us to step out of our comfort zones, to go against some of our natural tendencies, to be something that we don't think we're capable of being. But my friends, Jesus already told us what we are. Let me remind us of what Jesus said we are capable of. Because that first crowd that Jesus was speaking to, it wasn't a gathering of the United Nations or the superpowers of the day, the sitting Congress, or even a town hall assembly. It wasn't any powerful and important individuals. It was a random crowd on a hillside who happened to hear, hey, that Jesus guy, he's going to be speaking over there. And people came, common people, people with no specific ambitions or positions of power. It was people who were living under occupation. They couldn't make their own laws. They couldn't plan their own futures. They couldn't decide their own destinies. But as they showed up on that hillside, they were told what they could be. Jesus says to them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You make a difference in this society. You are blessed. Go and be a blessing to others. A colleague of mine shared this story on his blog recently, and it just makes me smile. It makes me happy to hear. He was walking through the county fair with his family, and as they were walking through the midway, he saw another family from the church coming right at him. And the little girl, he said, must have been 6, 7 years old. She was carrying one of those puffs of cotton candy. You know, the ones. He said it was bigger than she was, this huge puff of cotton candy. And as he approached her, he said to her, how can a little girl like you eat all that cotton candy? Well, she smiled at him for a moment and said, well, you want to know the truth. I'm really bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Isn't that a great way of looking at it? And isn't that what Jesus said to those on that hillside? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Why? Because of their great power? Because of their positions in government? Because of they were the smartest or strongest or biggest on the outside? No, that's not why Jesus told them those things. Jesus told them those things because he said, you belong to me. On the outside, you might seem insignificant to the world. By the world's measure, the world's standards, you might seem insignificant. But on the inside, we're as big as the kingdom and glory of God. We have that spirit living within us. That is why we can make a difference in this world. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are. All of you blessed people, you can make a difference. My friends, I pray that we strive to make that difference, that we strive to be who our Lord and Savior called us to be, that we can serve in the ways we're called to serve, that we can be present in the moments we're called to be present, that we can offer encouragement, that we can offer prayer, that we can offer whatever it might be, that another friend, another lost soul might find their way back to our Heavenly Father. Let us be salt. Let us be light, that we might season, that we might light this world up with God's love and God's flavor. Thanks be to God today and always. Amen. Well, being that it is the first Sunday of February, it is Communion Sunday. Hopefully you grabbed a cup on your way in here. If not, Kathy does have some over here. If you raise a hand, she'll be glad to get one over to you. And I'll encourage you to go ahead and get those plastic seals pulled off so you're able to partake in it with us. I also take a moment to remind us that it is the belief, practice, and tradition of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper. This is Christ's gift to us. It's not ours to choose, not ours to keep from anyone. If you wish to partake, if you wish to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, This is his gift to all of us. So I invite you to receive and partake in it today. I'll also invite you to join me in the communion liturgy that we'll share in, that will be on our screens. We need one more down front here, Kathy, when you get a second. Will you join me in our communion liturgy? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to God, and he broke it, giving it to his disciples and saying, Take and eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us likewise take and receive. Likewise, when the supper was over, Christ took the cup, again giving thanks to God, blessing it. He gave it to his disciples and told them, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us also take and receive. So, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours now and forever. Amen.
So let's all rise, if you're able, for our last song, please.
When you feel that sense of wonder and your heart is fit to burst, when you hear that quiet whisper and the fire begins to burn, when you know deep down inside you there is something you must do, let the Holy Spirit make his home in you. Let him reign, let him reign now. Let the Holy Spirit make His home in you. When you're walking through the darkness and the mountain seems too high, when the ocean waves around you and the flame begins to die, when you face those times of trouble but you know His love is true, let the Holy Spirit make His home in you. Let Him reign, let Him reign now. Let the Holy Spirit make His home in you. When the sun shines in the morning, when the stars unveil the lights, it's beyond imagination how the world reveals his might. I am precious, I am treasured. He delights in what he sees. Holy Spirit, will you make your home in me? Let him reign, let him reign now. Let the Holy Spirit make his home in you. Spirit reign, Spirit reign now. Holy Spirit, will you make your home in me?
Thank you, Jesus.
May our love, may it be like salt that makes life tasty and worthwhile. May our Christian living be a light to those who live in darkness. May our Christian communities be cities of light to be seen from afar as signs of God's love and work in this world. And may God bless you for your mission ahead. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, we offer our thanks and praise. Amen.